This evening's scripture reading will be taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. If you're using a Pew Bibles in front of you, it can be found on page 1144. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And it reads, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
Good afternoon. So accustomed saying evening, but it's not really the evening when we have early services. So it's just good to see you back. Glad you're here. This sermon was written actually several weeks ago. It was followed on the heels of a race we ran, several of us. It was mentioned, ran a half marathon, and we like to, in America, I don't know, maybe it's true in other countries, but we really like things to be kind of idealized, I guess, for lack of a better word. We want you to give 110%. We want you to really bust through the tape and finish strong. And we kind of have this picture of great triumph and victory, and super effort and crossing the line and hands in the air. And I think what happens when we do that is people naturally kind of take that same thought and overlay it into Christianity. And Christianity kind of begins to be interpreted in that light, almost in a superhuman way. And it's going to be glamorous. And so the original title for this sermon was Finish Strong. And then I ran a race. Gave me a whole new appreciation. And it kind of helped me understand I'd done the same thing. We're going to bust through the tape of Christianity. We're going to finish strong. Our hands are going to be up. We're going to cross into eternity with plenty of wind to spare. And we're going to finish strong. No, you're going to be tired sometimes on the race. You're going to be weak sometimes on the race. You might even cramp up sometimes on the race and have to stop for pain. You're going to need help on the race. A brother, sister, come back and help you. And you might at last gather in enough oxygen and strength, see the end in sight, and just be contented with finishing. I think that's much more in harmony with what we read in Scripture. When it comes to faithfulness, the Apostle Paul and the Bible writers, there's no visions of grandeur. Christianity is likened to a race. It's likened to a war. It's likened to a fight. Finish. That ultimately is the exhortation that they so often have. Finish. These all died in faith. You don't see any wind sailing behind them. You don't hear in Hebrews chapter 11 any great swelling words of what they did so much and how much. And no, they finished. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, seeing them afar off. They were persuaded of them, embraced them, confessed them. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. While we're reading the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, the Apostle Paul is talking to a young preacher named Timothy. And Paul is largely telling Timothy to finish the race. In fact, as we read 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul talks about his life and the fact that he is finishing. And what he's going to tell Timothy is to follow his example. He gives Timothy throughout these two books at least these three exhortations, first of all, for his own life. And then as we get back over to the Apostle Paul, we'll talk about what Paul says about himself and how he tells Timothy, now you do this. Among the things he tells Timothy are these. He tells Timothy, first of all, fight. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight. You know, in this race of Christianity, on this run, if you will, in this war, the Bible is going to exhort us to fight. There will be plenty of opportunities to quit. There will be much opposition and encouragement to stop. And on you might go. And yet, what the Bible is going to say and what Paul says to Timothy is fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou also hast called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Every one of us in this room and those who will hear have begun a race with our Lord and with our Savior. And what God is asking us to do is keep fighting. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't surrender. Don't quit. Paul urges Timothy, fight. But then secondly, along those terms, he says, endure. Many people start the fight. Many people start the race. Paul's going to tell Timothy, endure. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall also be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. It's easy to see why the Bible likens our walk with Christ, our life with Christ, to a race. Again, hardness, endure it as a war. You're a soldier. You might anticipate and even expect it's going to be tough along this road. There will be challenges. It will be difficult. I've yet to hear anyone who served in our armed forces end their service by saying, well, that was easy. I've never heard anybody say, man, that wasn't even hard. I was waiting for the challenge. No. No, everybody comes to understand it's difficult. It's hard to be a soldier. It's hard to have that life. It's hard to carry that discipline out. So too with Christianity. And so the call that Paul urges Timothy is, listen, you not only need to fight, but you need to understand, you need to keep fighting. You need to endure hardness as a good soldier. Paul ends the thought by saying, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please he who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You must prioritize. You have to have your priorities in line. Paul says, Christ first, the life first. You don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. And so Paul says to Timothy, fight. Paul says to Timothy, endure. And then thirdly, Paul says to Timothy, finish. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. We talked about that idea of guarding this morning. That's this word. It means to guard, to observe for oneself something. To avoid, to shun, to flee, to guard oneself for one's safety, to keep it. Keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. One of the sadder things in life, we're going to near Lord's will, another month, we'll be having a You know some of those sermons we do nearly every year where we look back at 2000, whatever it is. It'll be 17 this time. And then we look forward to 18. We do it every year in expectation and looking forward. Y'all aren't tired of these, are you? We look forward to them. It's a year in the review. We look back at what happened. We look forward. You know, one of the sadder parts about that is every year somebody stops fighting. Every year you have to get to the end and realize we have brothers and sisters no longer running this race, no longer fighting. Now, let me quickly say, because people are no longer here, that does not mean they've stopped running the race. They could be running at another congregation faithfully. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who have gotten out of the race, people who said, I quit. For whatever reason, and any number of reasons, there are people. Maybe they get tired. Maybe they grow weary. Maybe it's difficult. Maybe something happened along the way. Could be the call of the world. Any number of things. And Paul says to Timothy, finish. Keep that which is committed. Guard it, maintain it, stay with it, and keep it. Finish. You know, the older you get, that becomes more and more important. It becomes more and more important not to have your name in lights. I don't know, maybe you want that when you're young. Not to have necessarily everybody sing your praises. Not to have all the stuff that maybe you thought once was important. No, what gets more and more important is faithfully finishing the race with our Lord and our Savior. Paul says to Timothy, finish. Now, those three exhortations Paul gives to Timothy because Paul himself was finishing the course. And what we had read for us in 2 Timothy 4, those first five verses, Paul is again charging Timothy. This time he's charging him the preaching of the gospel. He says, Timothy, you've taken on this call, you've taken on this ministry, and now I charge you. Make sure under all circumstances, any circumstances, you do nothing but preach the word. Be instant, urgent, in season, out of season, and do all that God requires. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Sometimes get up, tell people, mildly correct them. Other times do it sharply and make sure they understand. And then exhort them and build them up. But make sure, Timothy, whether they want to hear it or don't want to hear it, whether it's convenient or not convenient, whether people still love it or don't love it, you make sure you preach the word. Time will come, he says, they won't endure it. They don't want to stand up next to it anymore. They don't want it to control and direct their lives. He says, no matter what happens, Timothy, you fulfill your ministry. And Paul tells Timothy that because of what follows in 2 Timothy 4. Three things that Paul says about himself and ultimately the exhortation is to follow the example. Paul tells Timothy, the things you've seen and heard and learned of me, Timothy, you commit those to faithful men and you make sure you do them. Now, Paul is nearing the end of his life. In fact, he goes into that and he says three things. Number one, with regards to this idea of finishing the race, Paul says he is contented with his life. In verse number 6 of 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, for I am now ready. I'm ready. Paul is going to die not very long after this writing. Paul looks back over his life as he had done no doubt many times before. And this time as he nears the end, he talks to a young preacher who's on his way. There are so many times in the Bible where that occurs. You find David, you remember, well, even before David, all the way back to Abraham. Go find my son a wife, he says. You go do that. Don't get him a wife from here. You go a little further, you find Isaac calling his two sons. And a little later, you find Jacob calling his 12 sons. And it's a common thing that when people get near the end, they want to make sure they get their last words in to those that they love and who are going to keep on that same journey. You find David calling Solomon near his bed and saying, quit yourself like a man. Be a man. Follow God. Paul tells Timothy, after all of these exhortations, preach the word. Be instant. Be urgent. Make sure you preach it. Don't give in to fables. Preach the word. Paul says, I'm ready. Paul's contented with his life. Here's a man who had run the course. Friends, when it's time to die, we talk about finishing the race. It began with finish strong. I had visions of grandeur too. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to come across the line. No, I got out there. Some things happened on the way to the end. Such is Christianity, is it not? You got in it. Have some things happened along the way? Have some people done some things along the way? Have you found some obstacles and some hurdles? Have you found some challenges and some difficulties? Have you been thrown a few curveballs you didn't see coming? Some expectations, some incidents and stuff. Paul looks over and he says, listen, I'm ready. Well, I don't imagine there are any words anybody wants to say other than that when it's their time. I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Timothy, I want you to finish the race because I have. Paul says, number one, I am contented with my life. I'm ready. Number two, Paul says, I have lived faithfully. He says that in that phrase, I have fought. I have fought a good fight. You look back over the Apostle Paul's life, and he is just an example of what it means for somebody to convert and then grow and live a faithful life. This was a committed individual. He didn't hold himself up. He held Jesus up. He says of himself, I have lived with a good conscience. And he did. He once persecuted the way, and then he became a persecutor. He said of himself, he was the least of all apostles. 1 Corinthians 15:9. He referred to himself as the chief of sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. He said he sought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus, which he did, but he obtained mercy. Then you see his conversion and you find a man who, when he was given opportunity to obey the gospel, he did. He was an individual who didn't need 500 sermons. Ananias came. Why are you tarrying? He got up. He was baptized. Paul then began to live a life committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. And friends, if you have done the same, if you have fought the good fight, if you have lived the life, you've repented of your sins, you've grown in his grace and knowledge, it's not a matter of illusions of grandeur. Nobody is saying, look at how great I am. No, I showed up and I kept trying. I stumbled and I fell, scarred my knees, scraped my elbows. I got up and I kept living for the Lord. I never turned back on Jesus. There was never a day where I thought I'd made the wrong decision for Jesus. No, I've made wrong decisions. I've done things that are wrong. But I never once questioned whether or not Jesus was the divine Son of God. I never once said, I don't think God is who he says he is. I don't believe the scriptures are his word. No, sir, no, ma'am. When I obeyed the gospel, if you can say that, I fought a good fight. I look back over the life. That's what Paul is doing. He says, Timothy, that's what I did. Why are you ready, Paul? Because I fought. I have lived faithfully, not flawlessly, faithfully. Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith because he had fought it. Lay hold on eternal life because he had. You read statements like this from the Apostle Paul. I know whom I believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You read statements like that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth for those. This is a man who's running the race. This is a man who's fighting the fight. This is a man who's just living a faithful life. When Christians do that, they're doing precisely what God wants them to do. Friends, if you have done that, again, no illusions. Don't need fireworks. Might get across, scraped up, scarred up. Just going to keep fighting. I'm contented, Paul says. I have lived faithfully and I'm ready. Thirdly, finally this. Paul says to Timothy, I'm going to be rewarded. Henceforth, there is. We don't do this enough, but friends, the words mean stuff. They mean something. The words mean something. The tenses mean something. Henceforth, imagine if we read it this way. Timothy, I am ready. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there might be. No. Because it's not about him. It's about him. Paul is certain of this. God will keep his word. And because I have committed to him, and because I've lived faithfully, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. Again, if you read through the New Testament, that is the constant refrain. These all died in faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And so what will other people do if they live faithfully? They too, though their names are not mentioned in Hebrews 11, they will die in faith just like they did before them. Matthew 25, the servants did hear, well done, good and faithful servant. The law of sowing and reaping demands that those who sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's as true as the first point. Those who sow to the flesh reap corruption. Paul is not disturbed. Paul is not kept uneasy. Paul does not say the prayer that's often heard by other members of the Lord's body. If the Lord says the same, and if he finds me faithful, and I might get a place. No, sir. No, ma'am. He said he would and he will. And Paul rests assured in the confidence of God's promises. Paul says, Timothy, I will be rewarded. But you and I might be inclined to consider the Apostle Paul's life and say, well, yeah. I mean, if you write 13, maybe 14 books of the New Testament, if you're an apostle of Jesus Christ, if you're called up to the third heaven, if you do all of the wonderful, mighty, powerful things that the Apostle Paul did, well, then, yeah, he might make it. But I'm a long way from Paul. I don't think there's a person living who is a Christian who wouldn't raise their hand to say, I'm a long way from Paul. But now, does that mean we don't have the same assurances? Paul continues the thought with these words, and not to me only. You know, I began by saying I didn't finish that race with any illusions of grandeur. My hands weren't held up and I wasn't running. I was crawling. Well, I didn't tell you that part, but it's close to true. It's crawling, cramping. You know, that's not true of everybody who ran that race. There was a lot of different finishers, truth be told. There were some people who did have their hands in the air. There were some people who ran that race and looked like, by way of appearance, they really didn't even struggle or strain. There were some people who weren't nearly as bent over, achy, pained, hurting. They didn't stop. They never stopped. And they just ran right on through the town. I didn't see those people. They finished a long way ahead of me. What I'm trying to say is, not everybody's the Apostle Paul. But I do have this in common, like Greg and others, with those people is, we all finish. What's Paul saying here? Not to me only. You know, thankfully, there's no time on the race to heaven. Don't have to run this in under an hour, under two. No, no. What you have to do is finish. Paul is telling Timothy, you don't have to be me. What you have to do, Timothy, is finish. And what we have to do is finish, Paul says, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What's the point, Paul? Finish. Now, I appreciate that we Americanize it and we want you to finish strong. Bust through the tape. There wasn't no tape. I'm just glad to finish. What's God saying to you? Finish. I trust you've been here long enough to know that there is a myriad and wide and varied number of people in this congregation going through a wide variety of things in their lives. They're at different stages in their lives. They're having different experiences in their lives. And wouldn't it be tragic if we somehow began to believe in our mind that there was only one segment that was doing it right? That you had to be this or that, or you weren't as you ought to. You know, there are some people struggling. There are some people who are bent over holding their shorts and holding their legs, and they've taken five, just hold on. And there are some people barely moving, but they're moving, but they're moving. And then there are some. What's God saying? Man, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you do. Finish. Finish. Finish the race. The only failure is to quit, is to stop, and to give up. It's interesting. The Bible just does not hold out this big picture and this illusion of greatness and grandeur. No. It just kind of steadily tells us he did it by faith, she did it by faith, they finished the race, they did it, they did it, they did it, they. You keep going until you finish. Paul tells Timothy, I have. And I want you to. He tells us by extension, brethren, I'm ready. I fought. I finished. Now you finish. Friends, I don't know where you are in your life on the road. Don't know the struggles of every individual. Friends, the exhortation is finish. Now to Christian this afternoon, become one. Jesus is the answer for life, period. You need him. Believe that he's the Son of God. Repent. Turn your heart and your mind toward Jesus. Take a new mind. Take his mind. Turn and come to Jesus. Confess his name and be immersed in water, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. God, through Jesus, will save you. You will enter the race by the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. And once you enter the race, run and finish. Friends, there is simply nothing more important than this life and finishing our course. May God bless each of us to never give up, to never stop, and to finish. I might add this. Some people came back and helped me. Is there anybody you can help? Is there any brother or sister struggling on the race that you can help? Is there anybody you can reach out to? Because what you want them to do is the same thing you want to do. You want God's people to finish. You don't want to throw a stumbling block. You don't want to trip them. You want to go back and help them. Look around this week and see if a brother or sister is struggling on the road. Reach out a hand and help them. We've got to finish the race. Subject to the Lord's invitation, invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.